Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hi.
We got the show's namesake on assignment. BJ Shea's doing something else. Like we said, probably still playing board games.
Yeah, probably.
And running the boards is Joey D.
Hello, whoa.
On today's show, we will talk about RPGs, those role-playing games, with new shows, some competitive esports television shows hosted by a familiar face, probably that more, and of course the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcast, and Rev said it.
More!
Or just, you know, search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes.
Yes, plenty of ways to get a hold of us. Also, plenty of ways just to listen to us. And one of those, most of those ways actually have ways to review. And give us a 5-star review. And if you are so kind, give us some textual messages there. And tell everyone why you love us. And if you do so, send us a screen grab of that and then send it to us via the various social media, different ways to get a hold of us, or the email bjgeeknation@gmail.com. And let us know, and I'll send you a comic book.
A random comic book.
Completely random, because we've got a long box that is full of comics that I got helping out a local Tacoma gaming store here in the Pacific Northwest, Destiny City Comics, run by a wonderful man who we have had on previously, Ethan HD, who is a local professional wrestler who also owns a comic book shop. He actually just had it was kind of interesting, because in Tacoma, the secondary, I guess, football squad, and I'm talking about English football, soccer. Ooh. For all of you plebs out there, the Tacoma Defiance, they put out an article about him, which was a really good read. So check that out as well. If you just go to Real Ethan HD on Twitter, you can find it, and it's a good backdrop on how much of a gigantic nerd he really is, because I mean, professional wrestlers, they're basically like superheroes
pretty much. You're not wrong.
Yep. So we got that long box, and we'll just completely send you just an absolute random comic book. Let's start talking about competitive esports.
What?
Now, we remember some of the shows out there, such as King of the Nerds.
Yes.
Which, with reality shows, they put you in a house, they have you do some different things going on to become, well, crown you King of the Nerds. And with that one, it wasn't necessarily a just like esports and gaming. It ran the gamut of stuff. And some just truly brilliant people, actual like rocket scientists, who maybe a friend of ours, Kayla LaFrance, was one who did win, who now currently works in NASA and fortunate enough to be a friend of our show. And now there's a new one out there. This one is going to be actually starring...
Ooh, King of the Nerds Celebrity Edition?
Oh, no. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I have my list now.
Oh, really?
I definitely... Joe Manganiello would have to be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Vin Diesel.
Oh, yeah, because he has played D&D and has Dungeon Mastered D&D. And, I mean, if you look at the Fast and Furious movies, they're basically just like Dungeons & Dragons with his friends.
Henry Cavill.
Oh, yep. Got him.
Yeah, all these different people. Olivia Munn. We need
all
the nerds.
You're getting some of the big names here now with this one.
Yeah, I need some big nerds, but that's not what the show is?
No.
Oh.
This one is going to star Wil Wheaton as the host of an esports reality competition show called Game Master. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Game Master places 12 amateur aspiring esports athletes under one roof where they will live together and compete for a $100,000 grand prize. Each week, a contestant will be sent home, with the season culminating in a one-on-one battle between the two top competitors. The first season will run for 9 episodes as on an unannounced streaming service. So there's plenty of them out there that can do that. And so I'm not quite sure what's going to be going on with this. And all of the people who have helped create the show will appear on a panel for the show at the South by Southwest Festival next month. So we will be getting information about this as it goes along. It'll be interesting to see what's going to be going on along with this, because I've seen these reality shows happen before. A local person, Prodigy X, won the WCG Ultimate Gamer that happened on Sci-Fi a while back ago. And that was where I found out about the just the rock band slash guitar hero maven known as CG Thornton, who also just completely kicked my ass at Street Fighter, I'll just let you know. Like, there's plenty of these that have been coming out here, so I'll be excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, are they just competing on, are you in games like esports, or are they going to like also like maybe doing eating competition or something? I don't know.
And that's the thing, we don't know yet, because the information hasn't come out yet, and they're all people who are aspiring esports people.
You would assume it's probably just computer games.
I'm kind of thinking that, but like when we've seen stuff like King of the Nerds, we had some competitive gamers, but they didn't really, not all of them were set in the competitive gaming world. And I'll be honest, it's been a long time since I watched the WCG Ultimate Gamer one, so I can't remember whether or not they did more than just esports stuff. So I have to imagine they're going to do some goofy challenges that'll have them maybe going out to the real world or and doing something.
I mean, it's going to be an interesting look inside that industry as well, because, I mean, esports are not easy to, you know, I mean, they're hyper competitive, because, you yeah. know, it's not like a football field where you have to get up, drive somewhere, suit up, mm-hmm. play in weather conditions. You know, you're at your computer. You can wake up out of your bed and immediately get on the game.
Exactly. So. And it's one of those things where these people, you know, if you fancy yourself an esports gamer, and I've talked with the guys with the Seattle Surge for the Call of Duty League that's been going on this year, and they still put in a ton of hours. You can't really casually just get into this. It's hours upon hours, and we're talking like in the double digits daily
yeah.
to be doing this sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to create an excuse not to be putting in 12 hours a day when you can just wake up and do it.
And I have a few friends that do it, and like, hey, what are you up to? Give them a call, and they're like, oh, hold on, I'm practicing. I'm with my team, I'm doing this and that. I'm like, okay, yeah. Well, I'll let you get back to work.
Yeah, exactly, and it is. It's a job, and you got to take it that way. And I mean, I remember way back in the day, and BJ always brings them up, Only Use Me Blades, and some of the other guys that we've had, they've had to put in, like, and some of them are like out there, like, going on runs and trying to keep up their stamina on that sort of end, because it does actually help even though you're just sitting for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can tell you just from the Magic perspective, when I used to play tournaments when I was younger, 12-hour tournaments I'd be good, you know, because I had all the energy. But the older I got, the more I'm like, I got to keep mentally prepared. I got to be physically prepared because, they're a grind. They're grueling.
Well, and even they tried to kind of dial that back a little bit by only having, with the big GPs that were suddenly getting just this huge boom of audiences that, 9 rounds the first day, and then, you know, everyone who's 7-2 makes it, and then so you can go for day two. That's still 2 days of one of the most complicated games ever.
Oh, yeah. I remember I had to play an 11-round GP day one because it was a team event, and it was way over the amount it was supposed to be. But, you know, they opened it up, and I got up at 6:30 in the morning. I got back at midnight, and I got back up at 5 in the morning to go back over there.
Oh, jeez.
So, I mean, I'm not unhappy about it. I love the game. And like most of the players that do this, you know, they compete because they love the game. But mm-hmm. that being said, I think it's undersold and underrepresented of how difficult it is to play at any capacity where you're playing for hundreds of thousands of dollars that high all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I mean, that's why they had to ban Adderall. Because literally, they're like, we have to start drug testing the kids because...
Wow.
What if you actually need it?
Well, yeah, you don't need it for that, but...
I mean, it's crazy. And the money.
Damn.
Because everything, right? Every time money's involved, things get a little corrupt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's... I definitely give a lot of respect to anybody who takes anything and they want to take it to that next level, because you have to.
Yeah, and especially when you're that young, because they're like athletes. Mm-hmm. From high school, you kind of know whether or not you're going to be able to compete in that high of a level. And then you have to convince your parents that this is a thing you can do as a career. Which
I know. It's like the joke was like, you'll never make money playing video games. First off, even back in the day, you could still go work at Nintendo in playtest.
Yep.
Like, there's still plenty of things you could do then. But now there's so much more. And like with the boon of like Twitch and Mixer and all of these different platforms that you can just watch other people play. Like, there are people, you know, you see someone like Ninja who's just making just a ton of money, maybe not streaming, but endorsements and stuff like that, like real professional athletes.
Yep, and YouTube really sold it for the smaller gamer too, because all of a sudden you could be getting 30 to 50,000 views on your YouTube videos, and if you post, you know, one a week, you're making money.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on from the esports competition, but still on the TV show thing going on here with RPGs. Thanks to the ever-increasing mainstream popularity of D&D, especially with 5e, tabletop role-playing games have been just... it's been massive. And one of the big things about that are the shows that follow them. I think everybody here knows about Critical Role. Maybe you don't know about Harmon Quest, but the it's a big one that a lot of people who are casual D&D fans got into as well. And it was even like comedians like Brian Posehn and some of the amazing people that he runs with, the comedians, and Dan Telfer, who runs that game, they have put out different podcasts and television shows. Well, it looks like that the DC Universe has greenlit a new unscripted anthology gaming miniseries called DC Universe All-Star Games, which are going to feature famous DC fans playing a variety of different games and basically wishing that you could hang out with them as well.
Yep.
This is going to be executively produced by Fred from Scooby-Doo.
What?
Whom you may know as Freddie Prinze Jr.
What?
Oh, yeah. And actually,
I was like, what was the voice actor's name? Oh, yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And actually, he's been recently on Star Wars Rebels as the role of Kanan Jarrus.
He's living his best life. He just kind of does whatever he wants at this point, right?
Exactly, right. And directed, like, basically, the season one is going to feature Claire Grant, Vanessa Marshall, WWE's Xavier Woods, as they embark on a retro adventure blending two distinct genres. Prinze, Sam Witwer, who can also be heard reprising his role as Darth Maul in the final season of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and everybody else will work together on a Star Wars-inspired tabletop gaming series called Geg Wars as well, G-E-G-G, and I think that one's out already, so you can kind of see what you're going to be getting into along these lines. What this show, the DC show, is going to do is it's going to utilize the classic 80s role-playing game DC Heroes. And the story will be featured in season one of All-Star Games and is described as a nostalgic role-playing adventure, The Breakfast League, set in the same 80s eras as when the game was published. The five participants will role-play as a group of high schoolers stuck in Saturday detention. Ah, like the Breakfast Club. See what they do there?
I see.
As they improv their way through a variety of situations familiar to fans of beloved movies from that time period, they soon discover their destinies as the world's greatest superheroes. So it's a mashup of classic 80s teen comedies and DC heroes. This sounds really cool.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, all these D&D shows that come out are so much remind me of like the Whose Line of It Is It Anyways?
Good call.
Where like the DM is the host, Drew Carey, and then they put them in these scenarios and they essentially go improv yourself and make it funny.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. And that's why I've seen a couple of episodes of Harmon Quest and it's exactly that. Like,
yeah.
All right, here's where your campaign starts out and this happens, what happens? And then, it's just, you know, the character's like, I stabbed the snake. And the person's like, I take the snake's head and stab her with it. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It looks like episode one of this five-part freshman season will hit DC Universe on February 28th. So if you have that streaming service, it'll work out for you, with new episodes debuting exclusively on that digital platform every Friday. And when you're talking about like RPGs, it just reminds me of the fact that, I mean, I've been running a game for some friends right now set in the Eberron setting,
ooh,
which I love because it's basically steampunk.
Oh, yeah.
Just magic. It's Mage Punk. And it's, you're talking about, yeah, like, you don't know what your players are going to do. I've written out pages upon pages of stories of like, well, if they want to go this way, we can figure this out. Or we can go this way. Or if they ask this question, or if they do this, or they do that. And trying to anticipate what they're going to do is... it's a lofty goal.
Oh, dude, I feel you. I mean, our first campaign, we met a chief and his son, and my friend rolled the perception check as a stealthy character and was like, well, I noticed that the chief's son is grabbing a dagger, so I stab him. And the DM was just like,
I don't know what to do here.
Stop being so murder hobo-y, guys.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, as a DM, you can never be too prepared.
And that's the thing. So no matter how much you do prepare, there's a lot of the times where they're going to say something that is just out of left field.
Oh, our assassin got his arm broken. The kid's son flipped him on his back and suplexed him, essentially.
And sometimes you got to kind of do that. It's like, in the rule of improv, there's always the yes and, but sometimes as a DM, you have to go hard no.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not railroading someone, but they're going to test your boundaries. Much like a little kid is testing their parents, the players are going to try to see what they can get away with as a DM, to the DM.
My favorite description was, just imagine everyone's a kid at a bowling alley and you have the bumpers on. Do never, never put the bumpers down. They cannot throw gutter balls, but they can make sure they get down the alley.
Right? Exactly. And I mean, this is another good time. I mean, as a DM, I'm getting back into that, so I'm getting into that kind of groove. If you're a fledgling DM, or maybe even if you're an experienced one, shoot us an email and, you know, ask a DM. If you've got any problems that are coming up, let me know, and we'll be happy to answer those. BJGeekNation@gmail.com or any other way to just follow us on all the social media. Send us a message at Rev and Fuego if you want to on my Twitter. Plenty of ways to do that.
Quick aside, we were talking about the DC Universe, and I just remembered, I've been getting so many targeted ads for their new, I don't know how new it is, but their Harley Quinn series that is not for kids. It's an animated series.
Oh, it is not for children.
It's with Kaylee Cuoco, and they're swearing up a storm. The, mm-hmm. the commercials I keep getting ads for are hilarious. I think I'm going to bite the bullet, at least do the 1 week trial, so I might be able to check out.
Yeah.
I might check out the Freddie Prinze Jr. show, and I forget how many other good shows are on here
there
that I want to see.
A lot of decent ones. And when we first saw this thing, we were kind of like, do we really care about like Titans and anything along these lines? But
I mean,
they're putting out some good content.
I hear Titans is actually good, so now I have to like, you know, put my money where my mouth is and say, okay, I have to watch it.
Well,
put
your
Patrol
quote unquote money where your mouth is with your free trial.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to watch Titans, Doom Patrol, and all these shows
Patrol looks cool.
Within a week.
Well, I mean, as the resident binge watcher, I think you can be up to the
You've challenged yourself, man. You have to start on a Saturday and end on a Saturday,
so
though,
I,
or something.
Can I get a week off, please?
Well, we'll see about that.
Okay, fine.
But while you're still here, it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what's going on?
So, I was thinking.
Uh-oh.
How many movies are there out there that we love?
Okay.
But nobody, like, they weren't critically acclaimed movies. Like, nobody, they were hot garbage, but we all loved them, and everyone went to go see them. Like, for example, Suicide Squad. It made so much money, but it was a pile, especially the second half.
Mortal Kombat. See, that one actually holds up. Not Mortal Kombat 2, and I am talking about the one with, the 90s.
Liu Kang.
Yeah, and I'm trying, Christopher Lambert as Raiden, which was a terrible miscast, but when you're watching it, it kind of works.
Pure perfection. I love that movie, but everyone always tells me I'm an idiot for liking it, but I thought it was cool, man.
Yeah, and I have watched it in the last year or so. I don't even know why, but I was like, all right, I guess I can watch this. And it turned out great. I loved it, and I had a great time.
Dude's got four hands, man.
Goro's amazing.
Goro.
So, I stumbled upon a list from crack.com saying five Hollywood bombs. Movies that just were awful, but that made more money than your absolute favorite movies.
Okay.
First one being Terminator Genesis made $60 million more than Mad Max Fury Road.
Are you serious?
Yeah, according to this.
I almost swore.
Yeah, and it was probably, like, and this article is like, it was probably the best film of 2015 and has six Oscars to show for it, but
it's in
Terminator Genesis made more money.
It's in my forever top three, mm-hmm. and it's one of those movies that has a very, very basic plot and hardly any dialogue, but has some of the most fantastic visuals in a movie in recent years. And I mean, it's not a recent movie.
No, and the acting itself, too, with such little dialogue, mm-hmm. is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, I got to go back and rewatch that.
This movie came out? I don't even recognize this movie. This Terminator Genesis.
Is that the one? I think that's the one with Emilia Clarke.
Yeah, it is. When did this come out? Where was I?
Around the same time.
It came out 5 years ago.
Wow.
And it was, it had Emilia Clarke. I remember, didn't we talk
We interviewed Emilia Clarke on this podcast.
Don't you remember that?
I don't think he was on the podcast yet.
I think that might have been right before I joined.
All right, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, it didn't make that much money. It was labeled hot trash, but it made more money than Mad Max did, but it was labeled hot trash. That's what I was trying to say.
Like, seriously, like, looking at the wiki real quick, because usually we hit up Box Office Mojo, but it's like, it had a budget of around $160 million, and the box office pulled over $400 million, almost $450 million.
Does it say in what countries it made all the money? Because I can't imagine it being here in the United States.
It's one of those things where it could have done way better overseas, which, the World of Warcraft movie was not great, but it made a ton of money in overseas and in China and stuff like that as well.
And I think that's the same with, the Terminator movies, the... Transformers movies, too.
Oh, yeah.
And can I just say, Rev, what a compliment to give that movie a not great, because my God.
I didn't see it.
The CG on it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And that's about it.
If you were watching an hour and a half long Blizzard animated, cinematic, that's what it was. But if you're looking for plot or character development or...
And that sucks, because there's a lot of good actors in there that I was excited to see, because I heard it was that bad, I didn't end up seeing it. Like, Ruth Niega, I think, was in it, and Preacher, too.
Oh, yeah.
So they're both in there, Preacher and Tulip.
Oh, yeah, and Terminator Genesis made... almost 80% of its money was done by international.
Yep.
So it only made $90 million domestically, but it crushed...
Well,
internationally.
You know what I looked up? It was Arnold in the one remake with Christian Bale? And he wasn't. And then they released Genesis, and he was in that one.
Well, that was Terminator Salvation, which was not good either. Like, anything beyond the first two, and I haven't even watched the most recent one because of how bad all the other ones were. I heard that one wasn't so bad
Joe
either.
Didn't like it, right? You did see it.
Yeah, I saw it, and... Like, as a standalone movie, it would have been totally fine outside of the Terminator world. But within the Terminator world, they just had, fudged too many things to get Arnold back in it and, made the storylines, continue. It just didn't make any sense.
Like a drapery salesman or something stupid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just like, once I heard that, I was like, clap, I'm out.
He has emotions. It's like, you don't need any of it. That's not what made Terminator cool. He's a killing machine.
Yeah.
Okay, so next on this list, and one we kind of talked about earlier... Suicide Squad made more money than Logan.
No, you get out.
I believe it. What was the better movie? Obviously Logan, 100-fold. But Suicide Squad, you had everyone dressed as Harley Quinn that year. You had, everyone clamoring to go see it and complaining about the Joker when Logan is probably up there too on one of my favorite movies. But I have to be in the right mood to watch it because I bawl like a baby. Like, it was such a good movie. And my girl was in it. My girl.
Yeah, because X-23 is in it as well. And we can't blame the foreign market on this one because it was pretty even.
Yeah. Apparently, according to this article at least, I'm sure that one's probably more updated than the one that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It says that it made $226 million domestically, which didn't even surpass X-Men The Last Stand. So I think a lot of people... didn't really look at this movie. They're like, oh, it's just another Wolverine movie, but it looks really sad in the trailers and it looks old. So I think a lot of people were put off by that.
And it's, I would want to say because it's rated R, and that makes sense because Suicide Squad was actually PG-13, even though I would not let any kids go watch that movie, but mostly just because it's trash. And
smart.
And it's, everyone's like, well, the first half is all right. And I was like, that's great. You know what I've watched? The second half. Because I was stuck in a hotel room waiting for the next episode of Game of Thrones back when Game of Thrones was good. And,
And funny enough, actually, Suicide Squad nearly beat Batman v Superman at the box office.
Well.
But it did beat Justice League, Man of Steel, and even Batman Begins after adjusting for inflation.
Man.
That's crazy.
I don't like that.
Number three. The beloved Spider-Man Homecoming still didn't manage to beat Spider-Man 3.
Oh, and here's the deal with Spider-Man 3.
Let me tell you, kids. Back before Tom Holland.
Yeah, and this is even BJ jokes about this. Sam Raimi did not want to have Venom in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the producers or the suits or whatever in Hollywood says you need to have Venom in the movie. So... I kind of feel like Sam just gave up at that point and was like, well, fine, we're going to have this. So we're just going to have emo Tobey Maguire go out there and be ultra emo Peter Parker and have the weirdest dance scene
And it might be one of the greatest things to ever happen in movie history.
It was such a convoluted mess.
Where you're like, why is Venom turning this guy into some like skinny jeans emo punk rocker?
And that's not, I mean, and I hate the arguments where they're like, it's not like the comic book character. But I mean, come on. Like, you didn't need to go there with that.
So fun fact about Sam Raimi, by the way,
mm-hmm.
he is rumored to be directing the new Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Good.
I hope that it's, because it was rumored to be like a straight up horror movie. And I think that's the reason why the original director broke off from that, because it's turning out to not
was
be
it
that case.
Scott Derrickson.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that it turns a little more horror comedy.
It's Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And I'm not too up to date on my horror knowledge. Sam Raimi did all the Ash movies, right?
Yes, the Evil Dead mm-hmm. movies. He did the wonderfully brutal Drag Me to Hell, which if you don't like puking scenes, there's probably one that you might want to miss on that one.
Fair.
But it is it's just the horror comedy genre is really where he does his best. So I kind of hope they kind of keep some of that. And I'm way more excited to hear him be in something like this.
And it makes sense. Like one horror comedy, it's the Multiverse of Madness. A lot of people suspect that we're going to be seeing Scarlet Witch in this.
Yes.
Especially since we're going to be getting the WandaVision situation. And just by
I'm
watching
really
the trailers.
I'm excited for that. So excited for that.
If you haven't checked out the trailers or listened to our episode, I think it was a few episodes back, we talked about WandaVision in more depth and what we think and what we've seen so far. I think we're going to see that first, and then that's going to go into Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday, we're going to be talking a little bit about what Loki, that show, could possibly bring to the MCU as well.
Quickly going down this list, apparently the Pirates of the Caribbean movies outperformed most Pixar releases.
Wow. Well, and that was the thing. Like, that first movie.
Amazing.
Based on a ride. I recently just watched this over the last weekend. And you know what? It's ridiculous. It's silly. But it takes everything with just like a little bit of a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
They understand where it came from. And when you're watching this movie, you realize that it was just one that was supposed to be self-contained, and then
you get
it
blew
up.
You got somebody like Johnny Depp who completely took over this character and made this franchise.
And then they turned it into like 800 more movies.
No, yeah. So the first movie was great. The second movie was okay because it was basically a two-parter, two and three.
Because
mm-hmm. it's like, okay, and cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And then you go into three. And then after that, I mean, the fourth one, I mean, the fifth one, both.
I watched the first and the third and had a great time with either of those.
Yeah,
like, I didn't think I needed the second one to lead into that. And apparently I didn't because it worked out fine and I had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, you're totally fine. The fourth one was okay. The fifth one, you don't really need to see. But I went to see it in theaters with my dad because he really fell in love with Pirates of the Caribbean after he had Achilles surgery. And so that was the only thing playing on like Stars or something.
Okay.
For a whole month while he was just bedridden. And he fell in love with it. And I always loved pirates. So my dad and I would always go see all the Pirates movies and we have them all. It was not a good movie, but I had fun while at the movie because I was with my dad. So it was like
and
a
you know
weird,
what you're getting into with
yeah,
those.
It's like going to see any of the Fast and Furious movies.
I was about to say, Fast 9, baby.
Exactly. It's like, you're not in it because it's going to be some great work of art. But
not
it is,
at all.
It's going to be visually entertaining. There's going to be stuff going on, and you're going to be entertained for 2 hours.
Yeah, basically.
And you're going home. It's nothing to write home
like
about.
It's like a two-hour Maxim shoot.
Pretty much. But yeah, pretty much all their movies cranked out a crap ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
So their fifth movie, Dead Man Tell No Tales, the one I was talking about, cranked out nearly $800 million worldwide.
Okay, so yeah.
I think partially to do with Johnny Depp, or mostly to do with
Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp and pirates. Like, so there are like niche categories of movies that do very well because there just aren't that many of them. Like, what other pirate movies can you really name?
There aren't a whole lot of good ones. And even the shows, Black Sails came out, and it was a good show, but it wasn't, like, I think everyone thought that'd be, like, the pirate version of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it wasn't that, like, massly accepted and loved.
And this one also was the international guys doing almost 80% on their own on that one as well.
I believe it.
Yeah. Everyone around the world loves Johnny Depp.
All right, so the last one. How do you guys feel about one book being turned into three movies?
The Hobbit.
What did you guys think of the trilogy?
Here's the deal.
Soapbox.
I kind of loved The Hobbit, not because of the source material, how they handled the source material, or the fact that it turned into three more movies, and the fact that they took major liberties with like different characters getting like in relationships and stuff like that.
Love stories, you know, yeah. Right?
This was kind of along the lines of a Fast and Furious high fantasy. So when they're like going down the river and they're trying to escape from the, I think it's from the dwarves, and they're just like Legolas is just like using his arrows to shoot everything, and it's just like totally badass. And I'm like, this is a D&D group where everybody rolls a critical hit for every single roll.
Yep.
Like everything works out perfect and they're doing all these awesome things. Did it need to go out to three movies? Absolutely not. But I still had fun with every single one of them. And then Benedict Cumberbatch, almost said Bernadette Cumberbun there, him as Smaug was amazing. And I loved it.
Smaug was dope.
Yeah, right? Like, how often do you get, the same thing with pirates, how often do you get to see dragons on the screen?
Not that often.
No, even in Game of Thrones, you only got them every now and then.
Yeah, right?
But apparently, the Hobbit movies have stomped all over the MCU.
Oh, what?
So apparently, like I'm reading here, the Battle of the Five Armies, which they call a weird, sad blend of CGI and copious winks at people who know what happened in the Fellowship of the Ring, earned $956 million worldwide.
Yep.
And it did the worst.
Oh my God, it did!
It did the worst of the Hobbit films, and yet it would rank around seventh when compared to the MCU.
Each one of these Hobbit movies made almost $1 billion.
Yes.
With a B, people.
Well, so smart. They market to both age groups, right? Young and old.
Mm-hmm.
You hit them all.
They really do.
Because the young kids love it, right? You like dwarves bobbing in barrels going down a river is amazing. And then the old of us, you know, old generation like us, we're like, I love fantasy. Give me anything.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, again, the international audience crushed it on these ones.
And if you're wondering why Amazon would spend $500 million on the prequels, now we know why.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to make their money and then some.
There's a lot of movies out there that people are like, why?
Money.
Why? But yeah, exactly.
Money.
And it's one of those things that we've talked about plenty of times where, you know, it might not be for you, but it's probably for somebody. And worldwide, a lot of people.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.